You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we turn to a shocking revelation from the MBTA. The T's newest rail line was built with severe defects, and senior officials, it appears, knew about it. Here to tell us more, WBUR transportation reporter Andrea Perdomo Hernandez. Andrea, welcome back.
Hey, Tiziana.
So General Manager Phil Eng announces this in a press conference yesterday. Tell us what he said.
So yesterday, General Manager Eng basically kind of laid out the scope of the problems with tracks. We've known that there has been that the tracks along the Green Line extension are narrow. So during yesterday's press conference, he shared the scope of that. And he also said that the agency may have known about this problem as far back as April 2021. So the extent of he did share the extent of the issues, and we have a little bit of that sound.
The last geometry track scan runs indicate that 50% of the Union branch requires regauging, and 80% plus or minus requires regauging on Medford Tufts.
So just to be clear, when we talk about regauging, we're talking about widening the track. So about 80% of the track on one of the Green Line branches is going to need to be regauged, repositioned, widened, and 50% on the other.
And these geometry track scans, you know, we talked with the general manager when he was here on Radio Boston. It's these basically rail cars that run and do these measurements, found this. I believe he also said, Andrea, you know, we're looking at nearly 5 miles of track that are going to need this regauging that you talked about. So I want to back up here. This is a story that began with the Boston Globe reporting last month that the trains were running excruciatingly slow over some parts of the Green Line extension in Somerville and in Medford, even though the branch had been open less than a year. The T said then the tracks on the extension were too narrow. That seemed weird because basically experts who reacted at the time said you see widening over time, you don't see narrowing. And Globe reporter Taylor Dolvin explained that to us here in September.
The gauge, it's called, is the distance, the width between both rails. And with wear and tear, that widens as the rails get filed down, and also the ties can loosen and create that. I talked to 3 track experts yesterday. We'll be talking to more certainly this week, who said that they don't know how this could have happened.
So now we know. Did Eng yesterday give us some kind of plan for how to fix it?
He did. Eng also did share the reason why he thinks the narrowing is so widespread. He says that the ties were kind of prefabricated, and that's probably the reason why so much of the track is having this problem.
So basically they were pre-made to narrow and then put down that way.
Exactly. The plan is still very TBD at the moment. He was very adamant that all of these narrow tracks are going to need to be regauged. They're going to need to be widened. But how exactly they're going to do that is still a little bit unclear. A rep for the T did tell WBUR that they're looking into maybe night closures, could be weekends. I'm not entirely sure yet, but once they have that information, they reassured us that they would be sharing that publicly.
Meanwhile, is it safe to be on the Green Line extension, Andrea?
Yes. So when you hear narrow tracks and the trains are running slow, it's normal to kind of be a little bit nervous, like, should these trains even be running? But this is what Eng had to say yesterday about that.
That does not mean that the trains are running today unsafely. It means that we're going to have the GLX constructors regauge the track to bring it back to what the project called for.
So what Eng did also emphasize is that he has been in contact with the people who built these tracks. He's asked them for proposals on how they intend to fix the problem. And he also did say that the contractors, not taxpayers, will be paying for the repairs that need to be made along these tracks. And that's kind of where we stand right now.
So what's the biggest question on your mind now, Andrea?
I would love to talk to whoever keeps records at the T, because April 2021, it raises some eyebrows to me. That's more than a year before it even opened. Did nobody raise that flag? What's the chain of command? Like, what's the communication process? Do they plan on revamping that. Eng says that he wasn't made aware even of these issues until very recently, I think about a month ago. So how was it not flagged? Those are the things that, like, those are the big questions that I have in my head.
And when we say April 2021, we now know that a report from, you know, that the MBTA asked for on safety raised this issue of these narrow gauge, you know, cross ties or whatever they're called, in writing in April 2021. And of course, the GLX, the Green Line Extension, not even opening until later in 2022. WBUR transportation reporter Andrea Perdomo Hernandez. It's always good to see you here in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So let's get some context in, you know, it's sort of like, how bad is it? What does it mean? You know, how should we feel about the fact that General Manager Filling called a press conference and told us about it? So here with us, former Massachusetts Assistant Secretary of Transportation, former candidate for state auditor, which I think really matters here, Chris Dempsey. Welcome back.
Sure. Well, it's certainly a reminder that we need good oversight in state government.
Yeah. So you were the one, right, that I wanted to talk to after this, because you've got the transportation piece. We've been talking to you about the T for months now. And then we have this oversight and safety piece with you as an auditor candidate clearly on your mind. So I just want to know, sort of the mini 30-second movie that flashed through your head yesterday when this news breaks. What goes through your mind?
Well, you know, I do think that we should credit General Manager Eng for having a press conference on this and trying to be transparent. It was clear in his words that he's still searching for answers himself. And I think at the moment we've got more questions than answers, and it's a little too early for us to start assigning blame, but we can certainly start asking some tough questions about what happened here. Just to add a little bit of more detail to what Andrea just walked through. So the April 2021 report was done because of narrow rail at a rail yard in the New Medford rail yard. So not on the mainline revenue service track. When they issued that report, they determined it was too narrow, but they didn't actually go and check the other rail outside of the yard to take a look at it. They lose a year and a half by doing that. You fast forward now.
Wait, what does that mean, they lose a year and a half?
Well, if they had started looking immediately at the entire extension, they would have found the same problem elsewhere in the tracks. Instead, they found the issue in a certain area, and they kept the scope limited instead of expanding it, which would have been the right thing to do.
So I want to play a little sound then from the presser yesterday. This is Phil Eng.
The gauge, it's called.
I'm going to get some different sound here.
Back in April of 2021, is my belief that it could have been and should have been more proactively investigated prior to opening and prior to installing what we've done.
That's what you're saying.
So he's exactly right.
Okay.
Why wait a year before you go out and inspect the track on what I'll call the main line, on the revenue service line? So now it fast forward to November of 2022. So Governor Baker is leaving office in a couple months. This is one of his signature projects. There's a big push to be able to do a ribbon cutting on this project in time. It's November 2022. They do this test, the same test they did on the rail yard a year and a half ago, and they find, oops, we've got the same problem on these mainline tracks. They identify at that time 29 places where it's so narrow that it's a potential safety issue. They address those 29 pieces, but they also find that there's a problem with the broader track across this entire extension. And instead of delaying the ribbon cutting and fixing the problem, they decide to open the Green Line extension and to allow passengers on in December, knowing that this problem exists.
Okay, so I want to pause you there, because this is why you're here, because we want to break this down and really understand it. So what you're saying is, in November 2022, they look further and they discover two things: that there is a problem structurally, period. In 29 places, it's such a big problem that it needs to be fixed immediately because it cannot safely, the GLX cannot safely run.
Correct.
But structurally, it's a problem across the board, and one can assume that it will be a safety problem over time, period.
Correct. It's within the current safety limits, but outside of the construction standard. So it does not meet the requirements of the construction. And so at that point, apparently, MBTA management and the entity that is actually constructing the Green Line extension, called GLX Constructors, agree that they're going to fix it in the future, but not immediately. And that allows them to do the ribbon cutting and pat everybody on the back and say what a great job they did, but knowing that this structural issue or deficiency still exists and is going to lead to significant disruption for riders. And that's sort of where we are today.
All right. So now I'm going to play another piece of sound for you. When last we had one of our tea conversations on Radio Boston, when we talked about the Green Line extension, here is Stacey Thompson of Livable Streets.
Charlie Baker was at the GLX ribbon cutting. Charlie Baker wrote a book where there was an entire chapter devoted to how he fixed the T before he even left office.
You're hearing a chuckle from Jared Johnson there. The title of the book, "Getting Results, Getting Beyond Politics to Get Important Work Done." You said at the beginning of this conversation, Chris Dempsey, and for our listeners, we're here with Chris Dempsey, former Massachusetts Transportation Secretary, as we look at the announcement. Former Assistant Massachusetts Transportation Secretary, as we look at this announcement from Phil Eng, that there's nearly 5 miles of Green Line extension track that's going to need to be regauged. It's too soon to sort of point the finger. What?
Well, look, this is a really complex project with a lot of different players, and you're actually seeing some inconsistencies in the reporting here. So the Globe has reported that they have internal emails that say that this issue was raised with the project manager, a person named John Dalton. Bruce Mole at Commonwealth Magazine talked to John Dalton, and John Dalton said, "I never saw this issue. This is the first time I'm hearing about it." So we don't know totally what to make of that. But I do think that it is fair to say that the Baker administration was very focused on having a ribbon cutting before the governor left office. They actually did something similar on South Coast Rail, which is still not even running, but they sort of did a ribbon cutting on that as well. And it's, I think, unveiling a bit of a mixed legacy at best for Governor Baker here. I do want to give him credit for getting this project, quote unquote, back on track, because it was in a very bad place when he took office in 2015.
So two things there. One, in fact, John Dalton himself is widely credited with being the person who pushed in sort of the 2015 timeframe to make sure that it did get back on track.
So the governor hires John Dalton. He oversees this project.
Okay.
People feel like, you know, that might not have gotten done without their leadership. At the same time, I think a lot of us in transit advocacy have some real challenges or problems with the way the Baker administration handled the T broadly. And in this particular instance, I think what I'm starting to say here, I guess, is we saw a rush to a ribbon cutting, but knowing that there were sort of fundamental flaws in this project.
Because, again, the MBTA is overseen by the governor of the time, and you did just say that in November of 2022, the MBTA was aware that there were 29 places that needed a safety fix and that structurally,
correct,
the Green Line extension was wrongly made. And yet they went forward and opened,
correct,
the Green Line extension.
Now, look, a spokesperson for Governor Baker, and again, this is where the reporting is interesting. A spokesperson for Governor Baker is saying, "We didn't know anything about this. It never got to our level."
Okay, but somebody did.
But somebody, well, there are apparently emails that the Globe has that says that senior managers at the T and John Dalton knew of this, and it never got to the governor's level.
Okay, so I'm going to bring this piece in now. In that same conversation where we were talking about the Green Line extension here on Radio Boston, Boston Globe columnist Joan Vanacki had this to say.
Maura Healey has sort of gone out of her way to not say anything negative or to lay any of this at the feet of Charlie Baker and the way that the T was run under his administration. And I don't quite get that. I don't think it's about blaming. It's about putting things in context.
Which I think is what you're doing here in part, Chris Dempsey. So let's move down from Charlie Baker, which is part of what you're asking me to do in my focus here in this conversation. So let's talk about what you just said with the Globe reporting. In response to this new revelation from the T, Healey said in a statement, quote, "Senior MBTA officials under the previous administration knew about issues with the Green Line extension tracks years ago and did not disclose them to our administration or address them on their watch," end quote. I know I am acting like a dog with a bone on this, but I want to understand what the accountability moment is here or needs to be, Chris Dempsey.
The way I read that quote between the lines of Governor Healey, and I certainly don't want to put words in her mouth. She's more than capable of speaking for herself on this. But the way I read that is frustration with John Dalton and the leadership team of GLX knowing that this was an issue and still deciding to essentially approve the ribbon cutting. That's what I read in that. Now, John Dalton has left for a different project in New York. I don't think there's any expectation that he'll be back in Massachusetts. Sort of hard to hold him accountable. Governor Baker is on to a new job running the NCAA. I think hard to hold him accountable. And again, that's part of why I don't want to sit here and point fingers. I don't know that it does a whole lot of good. But this conversation that we're having, I think, is revealing that the T still has transparency issues and that Governor Healey and General Manager Eng are trying to work through that as they unearth some of this information, probably in close to real time themselves.
So that gets me to the last piece, coming back to transparency, which is actually the very first thing you said when we started this conversation, Chris. You said, I want to acknowledge that, you know, General Manager Phil Eng had this press conference, was transparent here. You know, when Stacey Thompson of Livable Streets was on last time, one of the things she emphasized was the importance of good investigative journalism, citing Taylor Dolvin at the Boston Globe, for example, because actually the MBTA had not told people an explanation for why the Green Line extension had crawled to 3 miles per hour. It was reporting that then pulled the MBTA forward to tell that. Now we see Phil Eng holding a press conference to tell the rest of the story.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are encouraging this kind of posture from the MBTA going forward.
Yeah, and that's a very fair point. I don't want to give them too much credit when some of this was forced by very good reporting from the Globe and elsewhere. I heard you speak last week that General Manager Eng was scheduled to be on your show and then decided not to take that opportunity. So, you know, this is not necessarily a new era of transparency at the T, but I do sense a genuine interest in trying to be a little bit more transparent and open some of this stuff up. We're all
I want to know, both Joan Vinaki and Stacey Thompson also said in that conversation.
Right.
They underscored that same thing as you.
And, you know, I don't want to sound Pollyannish here, right? But those of us that ride the T on a daily basis, we are rooting for General Manager Eng and the Healey administration to get this stuff right because of how essential good transit service is to our lives and really to the future of the entire greater Boston region. We need an MBTA that works, that people feel comfortable with, that people feel is accountable, that is being wise with their taxpayer dollars. We've got a lot of work to do to get there.
Okay, so last question for you. What is the next step that General Manager Phil Eng could take now that he's done this that would make you root him on further now that he's been transparent with this step with the Green Line extension?
So what I have not heard yet on this particular issue is the timeline and the plan for actually fixing it. He raised that issue yesterday. He said they're looking through it. We don't know yet if this is weeks or months or years, hopefully not years, to fix it. They have been clear that it will not be paid for by taxpayers or farepayers, that it is going to be paid for by the entities that constructed the Green Line extension. That's a good thing. Hopefully we can get through this in a relatively minor way with work at night, with limited shutdowns, with limited weekend shutdowns. Because look, the people of Medford and Somerville and East Cambridge have been waiting for this for 30 years. It finally opens last year to all of that fanfare. And then it's a little bit of a lead balloon, right? Let's get it fixed and working so that people can really rely on it and show that we can build and operate good transit projects. It was 30 years, Tiziana, between when we opened the last new part of Subway and when the Green Line extension opened. We cannot afford to wait another 30 years to add more to the subway system. It is absolutely essential to our housing and transportation goals. So let's build back an agency that has the capability to do that.
All right. We'll close our discussion on the T here. Chris Dempsey, former Assistant Secretary of Transportation, which I said correctly that time, here in the Commonwealth. You're going to stay with us. We're going to talk about housing, the new housing bond bill. When we come back from the break, strong intersection with transit and transportation there. We'll add two more guests. That's what's next. You're listening to Radio Boston.